Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. I feel like something special going on today. I've been touched in a new way. I stepped into a new realm. I don't know about you, but I got a new whack in the Holy Ghost. Something real good. Now, just while we're ministering and just worshiping and exalting Him, Cheryl had a vision. She had a vision. It was me, 120 pounds. It was me. No, she didn't. She really did, though. She had a vision. Come on, share.
I've actually had a couple of visions recently, and I was in worship, and I saw myself on a gigantic Ferris wheel, and I'm actually afraid of heights. And I go on these rides just for the thrill, because I'm actually a thrill junkie as well, so I like to push myself. But in the vision, I saw myself in the Ferris wheel. Have you ever been, when they're letting people off, stuck right on the top? And I saw myself suspended on the very top of this mammoth Ferris wheel. And at first, I felt like I was gripped with fear because I'm so deathly afraid of heights. And so all of a sudden, in the vision, I felt this sense of peace and rest come over me. And then I opened my eyes. And what was beautiful is, you know, I could see where the hot dog machines were. I could see where the candy floss venue was. I could see the whole park in this vision. And, you know, I felt this sense of peace, this relax. And all of a sudden, I had to write it down. You know, I came to a place of peace, and then I gained perspective because I could see everything around me for miles. It was like the whole place was opened up to me and nothing was hidden to me. I could see from afar off, and I actually began to feel exhilarated and excited because I wanted to get down and go and explore all the things that were in front of me, and I could get my bearings. And then as I began to descend, you know, I descended on the park with great purpose. I knew exactly where the candy floss place was, how I could get there. And I was very focused when I got off the Ferris wheel. I had a broadened perspective of the scope of the park and everything. And I started to steward my time that I'd spent kind of, you know, gaining perspective of the grounds and everything. And the Lord kind of spoke something to my spirit here. You know, you've been hearing Pastor Carl and several of us talk a lot about revival and a lot about an awakening and a lot about, you know, revivals of the past and how we were really changed by the revival of the 90s with Rodney Howard Brown and Toronto Blessing and everything. I felt like the Lord say to me, you know, you feel like you've been kind of stuck up here, you know, and God just said, you know, it's all going to come down. Like, heaven's going to come down, and you're going to come down with it. But with that fresh revival and fresh outpouring will come focus, will come perspective, will come understanding and a broadened depth of what God has done. And I feel like, you know, as we've been suspended, it seems like we've had great times of God's presence and everything. We can rest and relax and enjoy the presence of God. I feel when God comes, and He's coming, and I feel like a descent of heaven is coming upon us. And as a church, we've stewarded revival and everything. I feel very well, but I really believe that God is going to do something, and the Holy Spirit is going to come like a flood again, and the Shekinah glory is going to come like a flood again. But we will have had the time in this season that we've all gone through to have perspective, to have focus, to have understanding, and to have a broadened perspective and depth of what God wants to do in the days to come. And then I had another vision a couple weeks ago when Todd was here, and it all is related to this whole sense and yearning. Ooh, just got a moment there of desiring, come again in your power and your glory. And he said the word a couple weeks ago, I saw a bank vault. And immediately the Lord took me into a vision, and he took me into this huge bank vault that just opened spontaneously, and out popped all these safety deposit boxes. And in the safety deposit boxes were ridiculous inheritance that had been left untouched, unclaimed, and unknown to people. And that we as a people had fallen in a really good place, and we were going to gain something that we did not toil for, that we did not work for, that did not belong to us in the natural, that God was going to pop open these bank vaults of blessing. And there was going to be I saw jewels, I saw certificates, I just saw multiple blessings being opened up to the church, and of things that we did not toil for. And I just feel a sense of God's really going to do something in our midst and in this kingdom and in his church in the days to come. And I just really believe that he's going to descend like a flood, and it's like a whole bunch of calves released out of a stall, and they go crazy. But it's not haphazard. It's very focused. It's with great perspective, and it's with a great depth of understanding of what God wants to do.
Amen. Wow. Shabba Baba. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to just close your eyes. I want you to just put your hands out in front of you. And I just want you to reach in and just take now. Because that vault's been open to you. And there's things springing open. And if God wants to give you something, just say, I receive it now. I thank you, Father. There's inheritance. There's breakthrough. There's blessing. There's giftedness. There's eyes to see, ears to hear. There's gifts of revelation, knowledge, and understanding. There's deposits and gifts for today. There's fresh revelation that is now, present truth that is now, things present, things that were held till now that are now being revealed that you speak and release right now. Just take it now. Take it. So I take it. Thank you, Lord. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Hey, in Jesus' name. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Lord. Now, I was going to minister this morning on patience. And all the notes, I think, are on the website already, so you can go look at them. But I'm just going to read a couple verses to you. And then we're going to sing. We're going to sing that song again. Because blow, I love that. Blow now, Lord, because we're ready. We're ready. We're ready to receive. Are you ready? I feel as a church really positioned well. I love the fact, now listen, I sent out the, when Todd was here ministering, I've been here since then, I don't know, but it's been a crazy season. But when Todd ministered, he had three visions for us. And I sent that out for you to look at. I think they were pretty powerful. And in the three visions, the one was like, when Todd walked in, he walked up to me, he goes, it's really, really good in here. And I was like, What do you mean it's good? You know, the coffee's good, smells good. But he said, no, it's really, really good in here. And then when he had those visions, he saw a garden, and he saw these beautiful flowers, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And he said, what's here is very mature. It's very healthy. It's really plush. It's beautiful. And then he said, what was the next thing he saw? The next thing he saw, how many remember? I know he saw, thirdly, he saw into the foundation, and he saw that all the pipes were new. The pipes were brand new, and he said it was all. Oh, and then there was time, that he did see time, and that it is time. And then there was the second one. I remember what the second one was. Right, that was actually the first one. First one was angels with colored running shoes, colored. And that's beautiful colored, because there's the color of salvation. There's the color of glory. There's the color of healing. There's the color of the realm of revelation. So it's not like it's a one trick pony. It's a house that has many, many facets of the revelation of heaven. So I really wanted you to pray into that and really get that revelation that he's, and like Todd like pointed to me, says, are you going to be able to keep up? You know, I like that, don't you? I think something's about to accelerate and pop. So it says, trust the prophets, believe the prophets, and you'll prosper. That's what the word says. So if you'll come in line with that and agree with that, then the next thing was, it's really mature, it's really plush. This is a very mature house. I get to travel a lot, minister a lot of places, and I know you folks. And I know the level of people, of ministry we have in this house is scary good.
I'm scary good. Like really, really people that have a big platform right now, and yet you might feel like you're at the top of the Ferris wheel just kind of going, what's going on? And I'd received that word from Cheryl that this is a time of perspective, and when you're coming down, it's with focus, it's with power, it's with efficiency to just see incredible things. And then the fact that the pipes, they've been, and we feel like as a leadership team and ministry team that we have set like new foundations, new lines, purposefully thought about what are all the ways, what are the things, what are the systems and structures that we need to have clear, ready, pure, ready to run and do things well. And I really feel like we are ready for some ridiculous stuff. You feel that? No, really, do you? I'm telling you, it's ridiculous stuff, and it's to be an amazing blessing, and to be a real blessing even to other ministries, and serve churches in this city, and be a blessing to churches in this city, and the pastors that were here when we had the Pentecost Sunday meeting here, they were all absolutely over the moon and ecstatic, and so grateful for how we served the body of Christ that night. Really, really lovely. So God's doing something big. Something big. And I'm telling you, we're going to take over this whole city. We are right now thinking about different places in the city where we can start to plant and start to do things and have a multiple campus situation going on, because this place is going to blow up in the weeks to come, days to come. And we got to have other ways to bring people in, because God's going to move, and it's going to be swift, it's going to be powerful, going to be really, really big. And so that's going to happen. So let me just say this, all right? Hebrews chapter 6, 11, 12, 15, it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence and full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And see, Joshua said that it was through patient endurance that he stayed steady, he stayed through, he stayed and kept his eyes on what he believed God wanted him to do, and he realized the promise, and he's living in the promise, he's living in the maturity what God asked for. So it says, then it talked about, it says faith and patience. Say faith and patience. See, it's not just faith, it's faith and patience. See, faith is the word you believe, the revelation you get, you hang on to, but patient endurance, it says patient is how you inherit the promise. And I've seen a lot of people have a word, have faith, but then, you know, through the difficulty, through the trial, through the time between now and the full manifestation, they lost their joy, they lost their attitude, they developed a bad attitude, and you know, and then you lose out on it, you wonder what happened. God is faithful to his promise. He's faithful to every word he's spoken to your heart. If God spoke it to you, what, is he a liar? He's not going to bring it to pass? If God before you and God's got a word over you, can anything keep it from coming into manifestation? If you believe it can, you're serving the wrong God, because your God is faithful and true, and he'll always bring it to pass. You'll inherit the promises, and see, with Abraham, it was a long time, but so, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. In Hebrews chapter 10, 35 and 36, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. You have need of patience. The will of God is to patiently endure, to stand there, to believe his word, to trust him. And after you've been patient, you shall endure and realize the promises. A couple of words, Greek words for patience. One is makruthamiha. Compound word from long and passion. It takes a long time, but you're passionate. So patience isn't, okay, I'll wait here. What are you doing? I'm waiting. Oh. That's not patience. Patience is where you're confident. You're just, you know it. You're zoned in. Confidence is where you're preparing for it, because you're so, you know it's going to happen, and you're fixed on it. You're not getting negative. You're not getting ugly. You've got your face fixed. You know that God spoke something wonderful. What are you so happy about? Life looks like it stinks. I got a word from God, and I'm enduring till it comes into manifestation. I'm telling you, you got to do it. There's another word for patience. Hupone. It means under, to remain under that word, to stay fixed under that word. What are you doing? I am under that word. That word has authority over my life. I'm remaining under it with long passion. I'm staying fixed and focused on what God wants to do for me. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except as common to man. Say common. Oh, you have no idea what I'm going through. It's common. I don't mean to be rude, but whatever you're going through, it's common. No, this is very uncommon what I'm going through. You know what? It could be the worst thing, and I don't belittle or diminish or in any way mock that you're going through something at all. But you know, God says it's common to man. It means it's stuff that happens in this journey. How many know stuff happens? It's pretty common that stuff happens to people. It happens to us. But it was common to man. But God is faithful. So when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, you comfort me, because you're bringing me out the other side. Pastor, I'm going through something. Amen. Get through. He will get you through. And you know what? Patient endurance is not, I'll just wait until this mess is over with. No, you're like, praise God, he's bringing me out. He's bringing me through. And I love it. Joshua said, count it pure joy. Not just joy, pure joy. I love that. Like God puts these little superlatives, adjectives on things. Don't count it joy. Ha, ha, ha. Count it pure joy. What are you doing? I'm going through something. Woo! Because what does it do? It does the complete work, the finished work of patience. Because with faith and patience, you obtain the... It's not with faith you obtain the promise. It's with faith you get it in your heart. It's with faith you get the revelation. It's by faith you get what God desires to bring into man. It's by faith you connect with the unseen realm. It's through patience you bring it into expression. I was going to preach the sermon, but I just wanted to give you a couple highlights because we don't have time, and I want to have people get a chance to be prayed for. God's doing something here today, and I don't want you to miss it. You know, and you know, as Cheryl shared that, even we have with patience endured, and I believe we are now stepping into, it's like the wheel has started to move. We got perspective. It's time. It's time. I prophesy that over you right now. It's time for you. It's time for you. It's time for you. You know, but God always, whenever you're tried, whenever you go through a trial, God always provides a way of escape so that you can be able to bear it. There's not a situation where you can't go, ha, ha, ha. No, not this time. I can't right now. And honestly, I'm not diminishing it. I'm really not. I don't want to belittle the trial, the difficulty, the reality sometimes that life is constant. It's just constant. I felt so awful yesterday canceling a picnic. I just didn't even want to go on. Just looked at the sky and said, I won't even look at you anymore. It's just blue, blue, blue. I was actually at lunch going, I command there to be a thunderstorm. But through patience, I endured the day. Through patience and a floaty in the pool, I got through it. Exercise God's word in that let patience have her perfect work. The force of faith is at work, undergirded by the power of patience. Patience begins to work from the time that you believed you received, and it must be allowed to work until the promise is manifest. That was good. I just wanted to read all that to you. To realize the promises, you have to have faith and patience. Faith developed the revelation knowledge, the word of God, the rhemas of God. Patience is developed through the overcoming trials, the constancy that's ours. Many, many people who failed. I mean, Abraham took it in his own hands, and we have Ishmael. Abraham wasn't patient. He took it. Moses killed an Egyptian, took it in his own hands. Moses, amazing. He struck the rock. He struck the rock and the people still got water. But he was eliminated from the promise. Pretty rough, eh? I mean, what did he strike? What did he do? He was supposed to speak to the rock. Did the people still get blessed? Yes. The people still got blessed. Sometimes, folks, there's ministries that are out of order, but the people are still getting blessed. And you misunderstand, the person struck the rock, yet the people are still getting blessed because God loves the people. His purpose was to get water to the people. And he'll deal with the agent who was out of line, but the people will still get water. But Moses, he was impatient. He did that because he was frustrated. Manage your frustrations. Manage them. Esau, ah, cup of soup, I'll give you my inheritance. Peter chops off an ear. I mean, there's so many people who failed to appropriate things because they didn't have the proper perspective. So don't take God's purpose in your own hands. Don't ever, ever do that. So there's people who did have patience. Joseph had patience. Noah had patience. Daniel had patience. The three lads had patience. It says Job had patience. James 5:11 says, indeed, we count them blessed to endure perseverance of Job. And we've seen that he received the intended end of the Lord. So it was his patient endurance how he received the end of the Lord. Then quickly, just Joshua and Caleb. in Joshua 14. It says that Caleb, you know, he couldn't wait. Caleb was like, he could not wait for all these losers to die. All these people who allowed their circumstances to be bigger than the word of God in their life, they all had to die in the wilderness until he could walk into the promise. I mean, what a horrible thing. I mean, I could see him and his kids running around the camp. When it was the 40 years was up, I could see them running around the camp, die, sucker, die. He had to wait until all of the disbelief was done so he could go and take a hold of his promise. And he went, and he waited. Imagine that, having to be stuck 40 years in a cycle because of other people's unbelief. That doesn't happen now. Don't worry about it. Don't think that you're not getting your breakthrough because of somebody near you. That's rubbish. You know, God's faithful to do what he wants to do for you. But he says, now therefore give me this mountain which the Lord spoke for that day. But he patiently endured. Three things. You ready? Watch your thinking, watch your talking, watch your attitude. Watch your thinking, watch your talking, watch your attitude. Watch your thinking, watch your talking, watch your attitude. Focus on the promise, declare the promise, and hold fast in your position. Your attitude. Give you a couple quick things and we're done. You ready? NASA said, Columbia, your attitude is perfect. That was NASA, the space agency. The space shuttle Columbia was entering the atmosphere, and I'm listening, watching this, and all of a sudden they said, Columbia, your attitude is perfect. And I was like, how can the space shuttle have an attitude? I mean, you guys have a great attitude up there. And I went, it's not. It's a flight term. Their attitude, their approach to the atmosphere was perfect. So if it was wrong, they'd bounce off. If it was too hard, they'd have burned up. But it was perfect. They had a perfect attitude. And when you're approaching the purposes of God, when you're approaching the purposes of God in your life, when you're approaching the purposes, your attitude should be perfect. It should be that same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. An attitude of servanthood, an attitude of steadiness. Dr. Carolyn Dweck, she said, your attitude is a better predictor of success than your IQ. Attitude is everything. They're measuring now people's attitude. People who do well at work, they do well because they got a good attitude. The smart people, you can be really, really smart, but with a bad attitude and not be successful. But you know, they're measuring people's attitude, their emotional quotients, their IQ, their emotional intelligence. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she said, people pick up on our attitudes, the intent of our thought, not the detail of our thought. That's interesting. You see, and she also went on to say, God examines your heart, and your heart is the filter for all of your thoughts. And what do you think in your heart? It's not what you think in your head. It's not what you think or the words you confess or the Bible you confess. It's not the thoughts that you have consciously. It's the thoughts that get all the way through and get written on your heart. People don't hear. People don't pick up on your attitudes, the intent of the thought. They pick up on the intent of the thought, not the detail of the thought. How many know people can be walking around and you can see them, I got a great attitude, and you know they don't. You know it's not real, it's not genuine, it's not in their heart, and they're pretending, not making it though, because people pick up on it. And Caroline Lee said this, what you are thinking every moment of every day becomes a physical reality in your brain and your body, which affects your optimal mental and physical health. These thoughts collectively form your attitude, which is your state of mind, and it's your attitude and not your DNA that determines much of the quality of your life. You know, with your thinking and with your attitude, with the things that you write on your heart, you get all the way through, those things literally turn on and turn off genes in your DNA. My brothers are identical twins. They actually have the exact same DNA. Exact same DNA. My one brother has developed leukemia. My other brother doesn't have it. And so he said, if I have the exact same DNA as my brother, why did I get this and he didn't get that? And the answer to the doctor was, you gave in to stress. He said, somewhere in your life, you've given in to stress. Your decisions and your attitude towards things that have happened in your life have turned on genes that didn't need to get turned on. Obviously, your twin brother with the very same DNA has not approached life the same way. That's what my brother's doctor said to him. You don't have to have a disease, even if you're predisposed towards it. It's your attitude that determines whether you're going to walk in it or not. You know what? Let this attitude be in you in Christ Jesus. Listen now. Think right, speak right, and guard your attitude. That's patience. There's a promise for you to obtain. God's promised you so many incredible things in the Word of God. But Caleb took it. Caleb received the inheritance. Caleb walked in it because he thought right, he said right, and he guarded his heart and he had the proper attitude. Amen? All right, that's it. Just one verse to wrap it up right at the end. You ready? Here it is. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What's the will of God? To delight in him constantly. What's the will of God? To be thankful always, to rejoice in the Lord always, to stay fixed on him, and to believe that what he said he will do, to keep a posture of faith, to endure patiently, believing that God is faithful to what he said. Amen? Come on, stand up with me. All of this today, it all goes together to say this. There's something really special God wants to do for you right now. I've been really, really touched today, really ministered to today. God's really moved on my heart. I'm just so excited about the season. We have now moved into another season. All right, just push the person to your right and move over. Move over. There you go. Stay there now. Stay there. That's good. See, you've moved into a new season. You really have. Don't move now. Don't go back. I prophesy over you right now in the name of Jesus. All of heaven was prepared today in a kairos moment to move you to realizing your dreams and destinies, to position you in a place where he's going to shift and he's going to lift your head so that your attitude is perfect towards what he desires for you. And it will never fail to prosper and come forth, for the Lord spoke it, and nothing but nothing can separate you from his love and his grace. He who spoke it will also perform it, and will he not bring it to pass? Yes, he will. If God is for you, who can be against you? Fill in the blank. Who? I double dog dare you. Put something in the blank. There's nothing you can put in the blank. Who is it? There's nothing that can hinder you from what he desires. And we as a corporate body, we're stepping into reckless, ridiculous, supernatural expressions of God. Blessings, increased harvest, breakthrough, healings, powerful displays of who he is. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. I'm telling you. Here comes. I was going to say, here comes your nervous breakdown. But here it comes. Here comes your fabulous breakout. Here it comes. Here comes your fabulous breakout. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hands up. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we agree. We've heard so clearly your spirit cry out to us today, and we receive what you're saying. Wow. We embrace the intents of your heart. You've breathed on this house. You've been pouring over this house fresh oil, fresh anointing, a new season of breakthrough in every way. And if you think you're broken through, then break through some more. Because if you think you broke through, you're stuck, because there's more breakthrough. Just when you thought you broke through, he is the God of exceedingly abundantly more, 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 more. I mean, Paul had a breakthrough, and yet he said, I just want to know him. I just want to know him. You can have a greater breakout of greater revelation knowledge of the one who transcends all things, and yet he says, come and let me reveal to you fresh new things right now. So, Father, we embrace it as a corporate body. We embrace it individually. Thank you for the breakout. Thank you for new jobs. Thank you for advances. Thank you for raises. Thank you for unexpected calls. Hey, come pick up your check. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive it now. Joshua didn't even know that was happening. He didn't even know that there was already a check written for him. He wasn't fretting. He was just going on, I trust you, Lord. And there was already a check written for him. And when he trusted in you, you are already at work making a breakthrough bigger than could be imagined. Because you are a good God. So, Father, we embrace that now in Jesus' name. I command your richest blessing on the house now, on every dream, every vision, every hope. I loose your glory upon it in freshness and command the house to arise in power and in strength in Jesus' wonderful, mighty name. I just want to ask those who are going to be ministering at the altar today to come right now. Just come stand here at the front. And, you know, you might say, well, I think I felt it. I think I got it. If you don't know, then you come up here and these folks are ready to minister to you, to loose the glory of God on you. So I'm telling you, there is something for you at the altar. There is a cup of blessing mixed up right here. There's something for you to devour that'll shift you into another realm and a new life. There's a breakthrough in God. I ask you all to come, all to get touched, all to get ministered to. There is a touch of God for you here today. So I'm just going to bless you right now. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with our wonderful love of the Father. I bless you with the comfort and the ongoing companionship and partnership of the Holy Ghost. I bless you and I loose you now.